Welcome back to the Homegrown Podcast, September the 10th, 2022. We are now two decades away from the September 11th, 2001 attacks, aka 9/11, and I felt the need to do an entire episode dedicated to 9/11. For me, I'm 27 years old. I feel like this was the biggest moment in American history of my generation. And I think the generation before me, the generation before that one, this was a huge, huge moment. And I wanted to just kind of take one full episode to just, talk about the day, talk about what it meant for America, talk about my experience with 9/11. Before you get any further in this episode, I'm not really jumping far into the conspiracy side of this, because 2,977 Americans lost their life, and that is what should be told. That's the story that should be told. And I'm a huge conspiracy theorist. I love conspiracy theories, but this one hits really close to home for me, and I'm not really going to go into it. So before we go any further, I'm not doing an ad read. And I'm going to give you the 100% facts on 9/11. And I just want to kind of educate the people, the generations below me on this. Because I coach grown adults who weren't born during the 9/11 attacks. And to me, that's so crazy. That used to be like a solidarity thing, I guess. And so now I am coaching 18, 19-year-old guys with, I mean, they have their own apartments, they have jobs, they have children, and they weren't alive during 9/11, and that just absolutely blows my mind. So this entire episode is going to be dedicated to that. I hope that I am able to respectfully convey this information to you guys, and I hope that you guys enjoy. This is, you know, if you listen to, like, the history episodes we've done on here, it's going to be very similar to those, except I'm not going to be laughing and giggling and bullshitting the whole time. I'm not smoking any weed during this. I'm not drinking. I'm just giving you guys the 100% facts and kind of going over where I was, what happened on that day for me. And let's jump right into it. Yeah. So the September 11th attacks, a.k.a. 9/11, were four coordinated suicide terrorist attacks carried out by Al-Qaeda, right? Which, if you don't know who Al-Qaeda is, because I'm very well aware that that's possible, they were a militant Islamic extremist terrorist group, okay? And so, for a moment, let's just look at Al-Qaeda. So, the origins of Al-Qaeda can be traced to 1979, when the Soviet Union invaded Afghanistan, okay? Osama bin Laden traveled to the country to volunteer, right? Because he originally was not from Afghanistan. So he traveled to Afghanistan to volunteer, viewing the war as holy, and he wanted to help fellow Muslims in Afghanistan defeat the communist invaders, aka the Soviets. So we kind of understand that bin Laden, we kind of understand where he's coming from. He went to a country to help out. He wanted to help people of his religion. I'm not saying that I can understand, but I kind of can, right? He just wants to help his people. And at the end of the day, I mean, we look at various moments in history of people wanting to help their kind, right? So it is understood, I guess, right? So that is why he is there. And so then we move on to the motives for 9/11. Because in Afghanistan and with the support of Al-Qaeda, Osama bin Laden kind of became this larger-than-life figure. And he truly thought he was leading this fucking holy war. And so you look at the absolute motives for 9/11 with the U.S. support of Israel. There was the U.S. support for the attack against Muslims in Somalia, support of the Philippines against Muslims in the Moro conflict. You look at support for Israeli aggression against Muslims in Lebanon, support of Russians against Muslims in Chechnya, the support of Indian oppression against Muslims in Kashmir. You look at the presence of U.S. troops in Saudi Arabia and the sanctions against Iraq. So when looking at these, they're not, it's not as simple as me saying support for the attacks against Muslims. But that was what bin Laden laid out in his 2002 letter to America, right? And so, as I said, these aren't so fucking cut and dry as aggression against Muslims, against attacks against Muslims, sorry. It's a magnitude of things, and that's how he interpreted it. So we look at the initial attacks. Early on the morning of September 11th, 2001, 19 total hijackers took control of four commercial airliners, two Boeing 757s and two Boeing 767s that were en route to California. Three of them headed to LAX in Los Angeles, and one headed to San Francisco, which I think is SFO, maybe? SFO? Anyways, after takeoffs from Logan International Airport in Boston, Massachusetts, Newark Liberty Airport in Newark, New Jersey, and two from Loudoun and Fairfax counties in Virginia. Essentially, just large planes with long coast-to-coast flights were selected for hijacking because they would have more fuel, if that makes sense. And so the four flights were American Airlines Flight 11, which was one of the 767s. It departed from Logan at 7:59 en route to Los Angeles. And the hijackers flew the plane into the northern side of the North Tower of the World Trade Center at 8:46 a.m. This is initially the very first flight that would attack on U.S. soil. And so, before we go any further, before I talk about the other three flights, this one is so crazy because if you listen to a podcast called the Twisted History Podcast and you listen to an episode called The Twisted History of 9/11, the hosts of that podcast, Large and St. Ann, both worked in the stock exchange in New York City. And actually, Ann's father owned a company called Harvey Young that was a brokerage group, and he was in the World Trade Center, the North Tower of the World Trade Center, in the elevator, actually. And very tragic to hear her retelling of 9/11 and Large telling the story of 9/11. But essentially, this is the first hit, and four blocks away at the Citigroup, you were actually able to hear the plane hit the tower. And most of Wall Street had no fucking idea what was going on at this point. They turned on the televisions and the news were just saying that a plane had hit the World Trade Center. There was no there was no story yet. We truly had no idea what was going on yet. So from four blocks away, actually, the Citigroup building, I guess, could hear the plane fly overhead, and as Anne retells the story, she says it sounds like somebody just absolutely fucking guns it, that they can hear the acceleration take off and then a loud explosion. So that was the very first flight that hit at 8:46 a.m. That is American Airlines Flight 11. So then we had United Airlines Flight 175, which is a Boeing 767. It departed from Logan Airport at 8:14 en route to Los Angeles with a crew of 9 and 51 passengers, not including the 5 hijackers that were on board. So in total, 56 passengers with a crew of 9 people. The hijackers flew the plane into the south side of the South Tower at 9:03. This, a little bit more than 15 minutes after the first initial hit, this is when pandemonium started. This is when paranoia and chaos kind of sat in. St. Anne tells the story of how when this actually hit, four blocks away, the Citigroup's floors actually got so fucking hot that people's shoes were starting to stick to the floor. And now, just imagine being on being on Wall Street at this time. How fucking terrifying this has to be. And I think that's what people... like, I don't think people truly understand how terrifying this is. That you essentially get up and you go to work. And buildings start falling down around you. Not one, now two. Start falling down around you. You truly have no idea what to think. And that is exactly what Anne said on the podcast. She said she had no idea what to think. She had no idea what to do. Nobody on the floor, the Citigroup had any fucking idea what was going on, what to do. Honestly, listening to Anne and Large talking about 9/11 was truly, it actually made me tear up, honestly. It's just so crazy thinking that everything you know can just be disintegrating around you. And a lot of people, I don't think enough people truly understand like the magnitude of that. Like how would you react, I guess, is like the main thing. So moving on, American Airlines Flight 77 was a Boeing 757 that departed from Washington International Airport at 8:20 a.m. And it had a crew of six and 53 passengers, not including the five hijackers on it. So in total, 58 passengers. Sorry, I'm reading from notes, and I'm terrible from reading at notes. The hijackers flew the plane into the western side of the Pentagon in Arlington County, Virginia, at 9:37. So Anne talks about when this plane hits is now when true pandemonium sits in. Now there's definitely this feeling in the air that something is not right. And she actually said that when the second plane hit, they were told at the Citigroup that they were allowed to leave or they could stay. But those doors were locking. And essentially, the manager of the building locked everybody inside. He didn't give anybody the option to leave just yet. So now three planes have hit. And it is now being covered by national news. People are trying to figure out what the fuck is going on. United Airlines Flight 93 was another 757 that departed from Newark International Airport at 8:42. And it had a crew of seven and 33 passengers with four hijackers on this one. And as passengers actually attempted to subdue the hijackers, the aircraft crashed into a field in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. So the other three planes were successful in their mission of hitting landmarks. This one, the crew actually fought back. And there's lots of great documentaries and lots of great novels about United Airlines Flight 93 and the absolute courage that it had to have taken for those people to fucking... to stand up to four hijackers. And it ended up working because this one was actually, if I'm not mistaken, this was supposed to hit the federal building, if I'm not mistaken. So I have an excerpt to read. We talked a moment ago about not knowing what you would do in that moment. And I wrote a book about a year ago. And it's a poetry novel. And one of the pieces that I published in it was a recorded voicemail left from one of the passengers of Flight 175. And I'm just going to read the excerpt. And you have to really just think of how terrifying these moments had to have been. Four moments back to back to back. You have to just think of how terrifying those moments were. And then you have to think of how terrifying it had to be in New York City at that time. So I'm going to read an excerpt from the book. I didn't actually put a page number on this. It's dead center of the book. But the piece is titled Flight 175. There is a story that I'd read of the 9/11 flight victims' telephone records and text messages. Generally, I'm not a fan of people's privacy being invaded, but out of pure curiosity, I clicked the link. What are someone's last thoughts in the middle of a terrorist attack, moments before your plane is about to crash? I stumbled upon Brian David Sweeney's voicemail that he left for his wife, Julie. To me, this is the embodiment of love. It's somber, it's chilling, and yet it's so peaceful and beautiful. In what was more than likely his final moment, he wanted his wife to know how much he loved her. He wanted to tell her to do good and have good times, so this page is dedicated to him and that voicemail transcript. God bless you, Brian and Jules. Jules, this is Brian. Listen, I'm on a plane that's been hijacked. If things don't go well, and it's not looking good, I just want you to know that I absolutely love you. I want you to do good, go have good times, same to my parents and everybody. I just totally love you, and I'll see you when you get there. Bye, babe. I hope I call you. That is such a beautiful thing. I actually, so low-key, I had to pause the recording because I kind of teared up, and I just think that's so beautiful that in Brian David Sweeney's last moment, he called his wife Jules and left her a voicemail. I mean, that's just so fucking, so crazy. And so the aftermath of 9/11, to hear Large and Ann tell it, there's thousands, millions of people in the streets, all running toward the river in Manhattan. They're covered in ash, and to hear them tell it, there's nothing but debris and rubble and shoes fucking everywhere. And I would imagine that the shoes everywhere has to do with how hot that it got, and people's shoes were melting to the floor. Or maybe there was a shoe store that got disintegrated. But essentially more than 200 layers or 200 levels of the World Trade Centers ended up being in the streets. And I've listened to multiple podcasts and multiple interviews and different movies about people that survived. And they just talk about being covered in rubble, and they talk about just how fucking crazy it was and how intense this was. And earlier I mentioned that there was 2,977 deaths. And that number is actually inaccurate. There was 2,996 deaths, but that's including 19 Al-Qaeda terrorists, and I'm not fucking including them. So sorry, but yeah. 2,977 victims were trapped or disintegrated. Anne talks about her father being trapped in an elevator and essentially being burned alive. I mean, the magnitude and the causes of death were just absolutely fucking insane. The true thing about 9/11 is that it was a life-changing moment. No matter what generation you were in, no matter what era you grew up in, I guess, it was life-changing. We got this thing called TSA after 9/11, who patrol the airports and luggage and what you can take on an airplane was absolutely changed forever. I mean, so many rules that have been just a normal thing for my life were kind of sprung up from 9/11. 9/11's so crazy. Of course, it began the war in the Middle East. And a lot of people think that George Bush had a lot to do with 9/11, and the popular thing to say is George Bush did 9/11, and I'm not going to talk about that at all. Instead, you know, I want to take a moment to just commemorate these 2,977 American victims that unfortunately lost their lives. And essentially lost their lives because of a fucking cult. I mean, Al-Qaeda is essentially a fucking cult, and that's sad. I remember the day that we killed Osama bin Laden. And I remember Barack Obama being on the TV saying, "Ladies and gentlemen, we got him." And I remember so much about this. So when 9/11 happened, I was in the first grade. And if anybody went to school with me and they're listening, we were in Miss Wall's class, right? And she wheels a TV in the room. And they start showing it. And I think it was before the plane went down in Shanksville. I think only three planes had hit at this time. And so she's crying. And she's showing us the news coverage of the attacks. And I'll never forget, one by one, my classmates are picked up and are taken out of school. And eventually I am as well. Because nobody knew what was going to happen. Like, nobody in New York could have ever foreseen this happening. Nobody in Los Angeles, nobody in Washington, nobody at Newark International Airport, you know. Nobody anywhere knew what was going to happen next. It's one of the first times that we had been attacked on U.S. soil, you know, minus the Civil War, Pearl Harbor, you know. And nobody knew what was coming next. Nobody had any idea. And so I'm sitting there and I'm watching this TV and I'm watching my teacher cry. And if anybody had Miss Walls as a first grade teacher, you know, she was a hard ass. She was a hard ass lady. She had a mullet and she was taller and more heavier in nature. You know, she was a hard ass. She used to scare me, like low key. And she's sitting there crying. And we're all just watching this television. I remember they got our entire grade, the entire first grade in Miss Wall's classroom. And they start showing us this. And I have no fucking idea what's going on. I mean, I'm watching the news, and I understand that at the time, the World Trade Center had been hit, and that the Pentagon had been hit. But I had no idea what was happening. So then a couple years later, my parents are running a hotel. And I'm a teenager at this point. And my parents are running a hotel, and I'm helping run the desk. And my mother has her email up on the computer. And I'm closing out windows, and I just happened to close, or I happened to click a window that had her email up. And it was a chain mail that my aunt had sent her. And it was nice and long, and it was this, it was a conspiracy theory for 9/11. It was the very first time that I ever read a conspiracy theory. And so for me, 9/11 is huge for many reasons. A, it was the first huge thing that truly happened in my lifetime. But B, it was the very first conspiracy theory I ever read. And I remember being 16 years old and thinking that I knew more than everybody else, I guess. Because I quote-unquote understood the conspiracy behind it. But it was just so fucking crazy to me. And it was so crazy. So, like I said, at 16, I read the conspiracy theory. And if you were a fan of my former podcast, The Takedown, then you know we done an episode that we kind of touched on 9/11. And I know that there's this other saying, very, very popular saying, that is almost as popular or more popular than the George Bush did 9/11 saying, that is, jet fuel doesn't melt steel beams. And that was what this conspiracy was. And there's been multiple movies, there's Zeitgeist, there's lots of documentaries on YouTube. You can find as much information about 9/11 as you want. Every year, I try to take a couple minutes to just reflect on that day and that time. And I would advise everybody to do the exact same thing. And, you know, instead of feeding into the echo chamber of conspiracy. Just reflect on the fact that 2,977 Americans lost their life, and it was one of the biggest tragedies in American history. And just reflect on how much life has changed since then. So yeah, I'm about to have a brief excerpt from my mom play about what she thought about 9/11. And I'm going to give her thoughts. And then I'm going to kind of do like a final thought before I sign off. So this is that excerpt.
9/11, I was working at Food City in Abingdon. And everybody started screaming and yelling for us to turn on our radios or go to our phones. And we all did. And at that time, they had not shot the Pentagon. Yeah, the Pentagon down yet. We were still waiting. And we were just like in awe. And the whole day, we kind of just all wondered. Everybody wanted to go home to their families. All I wanted to do was go to the school and get you picked up and take you home. And then we did. I left. I went and picked you up. And then the rest of the day, I think we were glued to the TV.
What was, what was your initial thought about it? Like, did you think that when you heard about it, did you know it was a terrorist attack?
I did not. I didn't know what was going on. I just knew that it was not good by no means.
You just thought like planes were going down everywhere, kind of?
Planes were going down everywhere. People were getting killed. Buildings were collapsing. That's when the Twin Towers collapsed. And I just kept thinking that could have been some of our family in there.
Yeah.
Just great sadness. Great sadness.
Yeah.
Everybody started, when they knew it was a terrorist attack, everybody started looking at foreigners, and they're really not foreigners, they're just people from other countries. Everybody started looking at them totally different. You didn't know who had guns, who was a terrorist, who had anything, who was out for anybody. And it made people very cautious. It kept them on edge for quite some time because you really didn't know what to do.
The news had covered that those people were living here for like a while.
Yes.
And
yes. Nobody knew what to do. Nobody knew what to say. They didn't want to offend anybody. You know what I'm saying? Because you don't know how many people are. If your neighbor had people that had died in all these things, you know what I'm saying? So it was really rough for a while.
Do you remember the election after 9/11?
I don't think I remembered a whole lot of that. Because I got sick right after that.
Yeah.
So I don't. You have to remember, honey, there was years that I can't remember.
Yeah. Last question and I will let you go. Did you know anybody that had family in New York or?
I did. Your uncle, which he has passed, his sister was still living in New York at the time. And I think her husband went to help, at that time, it wasn't rescue anymore. It was recovery.
Yeah.
It was search and recovery. It went from search and rescue to search and recovery. So he went to help. And from what he said, it wasn't pretty at all.
Do you remember what it felt like to be an American in the couple days after and like the unity you felt?
Oh, sadness. Great sadness that had happened to our country.
Yeah.
You know, just great sadness, sadness everywhere, everywhere you went. Doctors, dentists, grocery stores, everybody was talking about it. And they're still talking about it. And tomorrow,
two decades.
Yeah. Yeah. And people are still talking about it. Because, I mean, you know, some of these people lost their mothers, their brothers, their fathers, their mothers, their children. Yeah. And their husbands. I was just so thankful that my family stayed intact.
It's so crazy. Reflecting on 9/11 now, two decades later, just how life-changing it was. I am in the majority of people that are conspiracy theorists regarding 9/11. And I chose to not go into them on this episode because I would rather memorialize 2,977 people and honor them as Americans than give you guys any sort of negative thinking about 9/11. And you should have not negative thinking about 9/11. You should have a negative thought about it in the sense that Americans, innocent Americans, lost their lives. I suggest everybody go do their own research and find out what you can about 9/11. I will say that recently I had a fight in New York and we visited Ground Zero. And the amount of people at Ground Zero on a random Saturday, Sunday afternoon was absolutely mind-blowing to me. And that made me proud to be an American. That so many people are visiting the memorial and that there is a memorial. And, you know, every year on the 4th of July, if you watch the news, they usually do a big New York City firework extravaganza in New York. And they always recognize the victims of 9/11. And it makes me proud to be an American. It makes me proud to be an American in the sense that we are honoring those 2,977 people. It makes me proud to be an American visiting Ground Zero. And if you've never got the chance and you have the opportunity, fucking do it. It is absolutely breathtaking. It's 9/10/2022 today. Tomorrow on 9/11, I'm going to upload a photo of Ground Zero. Like I said, it's just absolutely breathtaking. One of the most common things among New Yorkers is the sense of unity and community that 9/11 gave to all of New York in the moments, the minutes, hours, days after 9/11. And that is what I'm going to end the podcast on. St. Anne and Large on the Twisted History podcast talk about they started walking the Manhattan Bridge. And we drove over the Manhattan Bridge when we were in New York recently. And moments after the attacks, thousands of people are walking the bridge. And they both said that, you know, actually Lars picked up a briefcase that a man had dropped and found his information. And a couple weeks later, took it to the guy's house and returned the briefcase to him. And Anne was saying that when she was walking, she noticed that if anybody ever fell or was having a panic attack and sat down or anything, other New Yorkers would pick them up and help them walk. And that's what I want to leave you guys with listening is New York has this sense of community that is absolutely unreal. I've been all over the country and New York is the only place I've ever felt that before where the people right next to you, no matter what, are going to kind of take care of you. So I will leave you guys with this. Go do your own research about 9/11. And no matter what you do, no matter what you find or what you kind of concur on your own about 9/11, always be respectful to the 2,977 Americans that lost their lives. And also just reflect on where you were that day. Or if you weren't alive on that day, just kind of take a moment to think of how terrifying it was for not only New Yorkers, but the entire rest of the country. I appreciate you guys for listening. We are 35 minutes deep. I'll have another episode for you guys in the week. My computer spazzed the fuck out, so the recording is not going to sound as great as I want it to. I'm going to try to edit as much as I can. My computer crashed a couple days ago, and I just fixed it, and we're back on track. I just got my Wi-Fi fixed, so of course, the day that I get my Wi-Fi fixed, my laptop would spazz out. I hope you guys have a great day. I hope you guys have a great weekend, and I will see you guys soon. Adios.